All right, the most important election of a lifetime awaits us, right? We're 5 days out. Now, we know on the top stage and everything else, but certainly within the confines of New York State, there are some huge races taking place. And most notably, one of them in the third New York State senatorial. And that's where Monica Martinez presides as far as the district is concerned. And nice enough to give us a couple of minutes here on a very, very busy, I am sure, on a Thursday morning. And we welcome the Senator. Senator Martinez, how are you? Good to have you back.
Thank you, Jay. I'm well. Hope all is well with you, too.
All is good. All is good. Give me your thoughts here. Re-election, the campaign, making the rounds. What have you been hearing? What are you feeling right now?
Listen, I'm feeling great. I think it's very important that people go out and vote. Like you just said, it's a big election coming up on all levels, right? Whether it's presidential, congressional, state, our judges. It's very important that everybody goes out. I've been nonstop, obviously, since I was elected. And I'm looking forward to continuing the next 2 years once elected on November 3rd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. What are concerns right now? You've made, now listen, unprecedented times, kind of a different campaign. You know, it's not like you could shake hands here and there at train stations. But I'm sure you've made the rounds. You're getting feedback and everything else. What are concerns of people? What are they thinking right now? If you get reelected, you know, one or two things on the list, but give me a couple of thoughts as far as the base is concerned, the constituency. What are they concerned about?
Well, I will tell you, the one thing that I have been doing is making sure that people know the truth instead of the lies that are being spread from the other side. You know, so that's definitely been something that we've been doing. We've been doing phone calls. We did stay away from doors only because of concerns of others. One of the things that my campaign team took very serious is COVID. We are starting to see a rise again in numbers, and there are too many vulnerable populations out there. And the fact is that some people, you know, like you said before, want to bend the rules. That's okay. But my campaign team is making sure that everybody's health is accounted for, and we have not been knocking on doors. We have been dropping lit, but we do not come in contact with the person. And we just have to be careful. Everyone wears a mask when close contact with people. And that's what we've been doing. But on the phone, people are excited. People are excited to go out and vote. The support has been overwhelming. And it just shows the hard work that I've been doing for them, for the residents of the 3rd District. And look, not everyone's ever going to agree on the same thing always. But as long as we have those candid conversations and we have truth and honesty to them, I think we can prevail.
You mentioned truth a couple of times. I want to get to that. First, though, I had on a union member as far as that furniture warehouse in Islandia. That is a prime example of an employer maybe not doing the right thing as far as protocol. I think you've been on that. And a lot of individuals have come down with COVID there. The numbers are astronomical, and it's about safety right now. Can you tell us anything in that regard? I mean, have they answered any questions? I think it's Innovan, if I'm not mistaken, in Islandia there, Senator. What can you tell us about that incident of this furniture warehouse going on right now?
Yeah, I've been dealing with Quality King and over in Bellport and Ronkonkoma, which similar issues that are having taking place in Islandia. But, Jay, these are companies that should be protecting their employees no matter what, right? They should be providing PPEs. They should be disinfecting. They should be doing right, not just by the employees, but by themselves and the employees' families, right? One of the companies had about 90 people, right, who contracted the virus. They had deaths, but yet that doesn't matter. Their lives doesn't matter. You know, and it's unfortunate that you have management who is dealing this way today in 2020, right? These are labor laws that have been enacted years ago to protect people's and workers' rights. And this company is literally failing them. We have written letters, not just myself, but this is a bipartisan effort to make sure that employees are taken care of. No one has responded to our letters, to our phone calls. And this company, Jay, I've been dealing with this company since I was a county legislator. So there's a pattern of mismanagement and just abuse of the workers. And it's time that they're held accountable. And that's why there's a bill actually by Mike Daenerys, Senator Daenerys, the New York Heroes Act, and it's really to make sure that management does right by their employees and provides safety measures.
Yeah, it's important stuff, and the testing and everything else, especially, you know, we've had on many an individual regarding within the minority communities to making sure that messaging is proper, testing is in place. Where are you at right now with your thought process to make sure those particulars are in play to help out those communities?
And we saw right at the beginning of this pandemic, we saw the hotspots. We saw exactly where they were, and you just mentioned it. They were in low-income minority communities. Wireless communities always left to the end, right? If we know of certain communities as elected officials, we need to be proactive rather than reactive. So now I hope the lessons have been learned. I hope that if there is a second wave that people are talking about, that we institute testing sites and we have the gear that people need in the event that a second wave comes in. We know what happened the first time around. We know the hotspots. So we need to make sure that those same things that we implemented after the fact are there prior to the second wave. And even in my district, my former district and still my district of Brown and Central Islip, that was one of the two hotspots in the entire county, right? And one of the reasons is because, yes, the messaging was not out there. There are different languages that are spoken. It's not just Spanish. You have Creole. People don't realize that people also speak Polish, and they speak Italian and Portuguese, right? It's not just Spanish that people are speaking here in Suffolk County. And we need to make sure that we hit every single community in Suffolk County so they are aware of what needs to be done, the proper procedures, how to wear the mask, or, you know, what you can do to keep yourself safe. Yes, we all learn, you know, we have to wash our hands on little kids, right? But it's real, right? We have to protect ourselves. So even with the county executive and the supervisor of the town of Islip, you know, we made the effort to put a testing site in Brentwood. I work with the governor's office to put a testing site in Central Islip because those were the communities that really needed it. So I really hope that we learned from the first time around that the second time we implement these resources right from the beginning. I partnered up with doctors. We had mobile testing sites, making sure that people were able to get COVID tested and antibody testing. And that was a huge success. We had people from all over the county come in to participate at this mobile testing site that we had.
And it's so important that the messaging is out there. Monica Martinez, my guest, she's running for re-election, ladies and gentlemen, in the New York State Senatorial 3rd District. She is on the Democratic Party line. Senator, the truth, not telling the truth. Give us your take as far as some of the mistruths out, the untruths. Let's put it that way, as far as what you're hearing, what you want to clear up, and to making sure that that people know the right information. And I'm going to tell you right now, one of the big topics, and we have everybody on, as you know, one of the big topics for this election, a focal point, is the bail reform. Now, last time we had you on, you know, you were emphatic as far as, you know what, you needed to see some change there until you voted on it and everything else. But give us an idea. I mean, is that kind of at the top of what you're talking about as far as the truth and not speaking the truth?
Most definite. And Jay, you have known me now for, what, 7, 8 years since the county legislature? And I have always, always worked with law enforcement to make sure that our communities are safe. I was the chairperson of the Public Safety Committee on the county legislature, right? I am the one who stood there fighting the crimes that were happening in Brown and Central Islip when we had those gang murders. I was the one who provided the tools that our officers needed while the county legislature. It was me who fought for the amendments to bail reform. It was me who made sure that the budget included bail reform, because you know what? We know that the bail system needed reform in New York. Anyone who says that it didn't, they really never knew what was happening. There is no reason why people should be jailed because they can't pay bail. That's not fair. So you're trying to take the unfairness out of that. Do I believe it went too far? Most definitely, which is why I was the lead advocate in making sure that bail was amended. And I, you know, and there are press conferences and news releases of literally law enforcement and I fighting for these bails together. make for these trail, you know, for these changes together. We were there in the cold, making sure. I told the governor, Governor, I am not voting on any budget that does not include bail reform or amendments to bail reform, because the purpose of bail reform was to take out money from the system. The main, my priority is always public safety. My priority is making sure that those that commit crimes and are not only harmful to themselves but to the public at large, they should not be out on the streets. 100%. I agree with that. And that's why we needed to amend bail reform. Are we done, you know, making those amendments? I sure am not, right? And I also told law enforcement that I'm not. So anyone that says that I don't support law enforcement is straight out lying, because I have been not only an advocate for public safety, but I've been there hand in hand, shoulder in shoulder, and my community knows that I have fought for them when it comes to public safety. You know, the fact that people are saying that I want to defund the police, give me a break. If anything, we need to invest more into our police department, making sure that they are able to serve the people that they are trying to protect, making sure that they have the tools needed to keep our community safe. That is what we need to do. We need to bridge the gap. And the only way you're going to bridge the gap is training, making sure that the community knows that the police is there to help. And guys, with every profession, you know that there are some bad apples. And those bad apples should not account for every single officer, every single teacher, every single doctor, because that's not how it works, right? So we need to hold those accountable who do wrong, who violate their oath of office or their oath of service, which is why even when, you know, 50A passed, which was another issue that police did not want, right, I also submitted a bill for transparency on elected officials. How many elected officials have we seen go to prison for corruption, right? So let's hold public officials accountable as well. Look, I am not one that just, you know, goes on one side and not the other. If anyone knows me, I'm pretty fair and middle of the ground, you know, middle of the road. And this is what we do, and I will continue doing. So the fact that people are saying I want to defund the police, incorrect. People are saying that crime is at its highest. Then you're not believing the police commissioner or the Suffolk County Police Department, because even her numbers are low here in Suffolk County, right? So I think it's time that people know the truth. People should not be swayed by lies and fear that is being instilled upon them, not only by my opponent, but other outside groups. And they need to know the truth. And the truth is, I believe in law enforcement, I believe in public safety, and I believe that we need to keep funding our police departments so we can better assist our residents.
Here's the pushback. We're talking with Senator Monica Martinez. And like I said, we have everybody on. 50A, you know, to me, I'm going to be honest with you, I thought it was done rather quickly, too quickly maybe. Closed doors, everything else, after several incidents in and around our country, and then, lo and behold, executive action, the governor closed doors. It happened on a Monday. I remember it like yesterday. 50A signed into play. I think it puts many at risk there. The thing with the bail is, you know, it's tricky. And I'm going to be honest with you. I thought that the bail laws, Senator, you know, it's not a simple tweak. You know, to me, it's more of a tear down and maybe a rebuild. But when I look at the basic framework established by the original bail reform, I mean, could you honestly say, has it changed? I mean, let's face it. Let's be honest here. For most misdemeanors and nonviolent felonies, judges are still required to release people with the least restrictive conditions necessary to reasonably assure, I guess, the person will come back to court. You know, for these crimes, cash bail is still prohibited. I guess the biggest issue, and I speak to a lot of folks on this, you know that, and we try and be fair here. We have all voices heard, but we got to be reasonable here. But to me, when you take away a judge's power of any kind, that's an issue here. And for that very reason, giving judges discretion, and you bring up public safety, which is first and foremost, but to give judges discretion to consider this, no matter what the charges, in deciding whether an individual needs to be jailed pending a trial. And that's why, you know, a tweak here and a tweak there, according to many, even myself, I've sounded off on this. I feel it really needs to be looked at in full view. And I said the same thing regarding the discovery requirement. I said the same thing regarding the disclosure requirement. These are three things that I felt really had to be stripped down and rebuilt. Give me your comment there.
I cannot agree with you more, right? This is something that I did try to put into effect with having my own bill, right? My bill would provide judges discretion, allow them for a pre-trial, especially when there's a safety issue at hand, right? That was exactly my bill. That's the bill that law enforcement was with me trying to push together. Right? It didn't happen. But the reason why it didn't happen is because I also didn't have the support that I also needed from everyone else. Right? Passing a bill is not that easy. Right? You need the support. You need to make sure that people are all on the same page. And yes, things are done really fast. And I've said this to you time and time again. I don't believe in the process of how things happen in the state government when it comes to budget. I don't. I don't really think that policy should be in a budget. I don't think any law should be in a budget. It just doesn't die, right? Because you do not allow the public to have input. And for me, public to have input is so important. And that is why when I do my bills are based on what the community is telling me, what the law enforcement agencies were telling me, what they wanted to see, what I felt was needed. Yes, and one of them is bringing discretion back to the judges. I believe in three branches of government. That is why you have the three branches. You have the executive, the legislative, and the judicial. Every single one of those branches has its own jurisdiction. And when we take away jurisdiction of one, yeah, it's no the scales of, you know, the balance is no longer there, which is why I was pushing for this bill. And that's why I'm glad we're having this conversation, because people need to know the truth. People need to know what I've been doing. People need to know how hard I've been advocating for this. But I can't do it on my own, right? And that's why I need to get back up there, because this fight is not over for me. It's something that I will continue doing, because I believe in our police department, but I believe in good cops. And I believe that people in generally believe that an officer is there to do right, just the same thing with a teacher, just the same thing with a doctor, right? And we need to continue that. We need to continue building that gap and bridging the communities together. And I, you know, even in our schools, we have our school resource officers. You know how awesome those school resource officers were in the Brentwood community when I was a teacher and administrator? Kids loved them, right? So you need to continue that. The community policing is so important and vital to our communities at large. So I need to get up there, because as the majority in the Senate, we get things done, right? We need someone there who already started this fight and will continue the fight and will end the fight. And the only person who can do that is me.
Senator, with that being said, though, and I feel your passion, feel your emotion. We had you on last night. I felt it then, too. Then why go ahead and vote for it? I mean, were you getting pressured as far as the higher-ups as saying, you know, listen, you don't vote on this, there's going to be some consequences here? Because that was the word that we were getting in and around Albany. Did that take place as far as the verbal nature of it when this was brought to the forefront 3 months after the fact of when, you know, it was in place, and then, of course, you know, the tweaking and everything else? But what about the aspect of saying, you know what, vote on it or else? Did that take place within the confines up there?
Are you referring to bail reform back in April of last year?
Yes.
Say the one thing I don't get is pressured. All right. I do not allow people to decide over me. No one can ever say that they have bullied me into doing anything. And I will tell you, even if I would have voted no on this right now, I'd probably be attacked for not funding our schools, which, by the way, I am being attacked for not funding our schools. Right. So this is why I tell you that policy should not be in a budget, because when you put policy in a budget, you are literally putting it with every other aspect of the state of New York and its function. You're putting it together where services are being provided for residents of the state of New York, and you're putting in a piece of policy, a legislation within money. So then if I vote no, which even in my statement, even from the beginning when this was being voted on in April, I went public on the floor saying as to why this was not a good idea. Right. But if I would have voted no for that, too, I would have been voting no for every single service that the state of New York gives its residents, which is why I tell you budget and policy should not be bundled. And that is the system that has been in our state for decades. It's antiquated. It's one of those things that it's sorry for my language, but it sucks. It really does. It's a process that I do not agree with. You know, so that means we take away our services to our veterans. We take away our services to our seniors. We take away money for the sewers that are needed, especially down the South Shore. We take away money from schools. You know, and again, people don't know the process, right? And it's one of those things that I don't like. But it's there. Right. So, but as soon as I voted, I explained my vote as to why I didn't think this was right. I talked about, removing discretion from judges, which is not correct. We are inflicting possible safety concerns onto our communities. And right after that, Senator Boren and I put in our bill, the first bill after the budget was passed, to make sure that we added crimes back into the bill. You know, so this is a fight that I've been going through from the beginning. You know, those who are trying to attack me, obviously are not going to tell the truth, right? They're always going to try to sway people and tell people misinformation so they believe them, when in actuality, it is me who has been leading this charge, amending bail reform from the beginning. So you can understand why I'm so mad, right? Well, I wouldn't say mad, but I'm actually disappointed, because people are not giving credit to our voters. Our voters are smart. You know, and voters will do their homework. And come election day, they will know what I've done for the communities that I represent.
And that's why we have conversations on shows set up like this. And I think it's so important to discuss both sides, because it is the number one issue, without question, of everybody I've had on and fielding questions and everything else. But, you know, listen, I've said this, and we'll move on to something else in a second. But, I've said this all along. You know, the William Farnham's, you know, that was the double homicide that took place in Bellport, suicide. The Jordan Randolph's, the guy who was driving drunk, and that William Floyd on that Sunday killing of Jonathan Maldonado. The Tiffany Harris, the anti-Semitic attacks in and around the city. These are individuals, you know, especially the Harrises, the Randolphs, that they were locked up, let out. Burglaries that took place. One guy caught for 12 burglaries. Pretty much put his hands out and say, go ahead, cuff me, I'll be out by lunch. These individuals are very much engaged in the process, I would think, because they know regarding the system of how it works, and knowing that they'd be out on the street. And I think a lot of people are offended by that. And again, we bring up safety, because to me, that's the number one thing. But, you know, I don't want to harp on this crazily right now, but when you look at the crimes that happen to be released without bail, and they're right there. And that's why these judges, you know, they feel like their powers have been stripped somewhat when it comes to maybe an assault, a reckless assault, vehicular assault, reckless endangerment, first and second degrees. These are all crimes that individuals are upon them, but yet they are released without the bail attached. And I think a lot of people are crying foul when it comes to that, because again, it puts people at risk by having these individuals out there. And let's not forget a very important point I've been bringing up. When people are incarcerated, they are getting the rehabilitation that they need. When they're out on the street, they're not getting those services. So that, I think, is something to really kind of accentuate here, because a lot of these individuals, not all, but a lot of them create these heinous acts, and thus that's where you have safety at the forefront again. I think that is the point of contention that many are making. Go ahead.
And you're not wrong, right? And these are people who are brazen, right? No one is saying that it's right, right? No one is saying, and that's why it needs to be changed. And because of that DWI also, it's one of the reasons why we pushed even harder, right? There's no reason for that. And that's why that's one of the punishments that we put back in. Look, I am telling you right now, I am the first person to tell you that it went too far. And I don't have a problem saying that. And my party knows I don't have a problem saying that. I've gone against my party a lot, right? But it's not because I don't like my party. It's because I don't agree with some of the views and some of the decisions. So I am my own person. I am my own independent person, and I will go in the direction that I feel is necessary for my district, right? And even, Joe, we go back to talking about, like, the services that would be cut if I would have voted no for this, you know, for the bill reform in the first, you know, the first go-around, the budget. That budget actually included $5 billion that went towards law enforcement, public safety initiatives, gang prevention, right? All the Republicans voted no for that. So what does that mean, that all Republicans voted no for the officers and they voted no for public safety? That's $5 billion that went towards law enforcement. You know, so people need to understand that the process stinks, right? But we need people such as myself, your moderate, independent people who are able to bring and effectuate change in the state government and make sure that Long Island is a priority in the state of New York, and that Long Island gets its fair share. And the only way that's going to happen if you have people who are middle of the road people, such as myself and such as those who are running, you know, here on Long Island with me. And that's the only way it's going to happen. And I believe that change can happen, and continue happening in the positive direction, because yes, we need to continue fixing. Families are hurting. People have been let out when they should have not been. Those who are committing crimes are brazen 100%. But there are some individuals that have been incarcerated because they couldn't pay, right? And that was the purpose, the initial and intent of the bail reform. But we need to change it. And I'm not saying it's right 100%. You know, law enforcement agencies, the day of the budget vote, I was going to vote no because I still was not happy with the changes. But they were worried that it wouldn't have passed, and yet we didn't have enough votes, right? So I was urged to vote for the last budget, even with the 19 crimes that were, which were put in. I wasn't happy with it, but they were worried that even if I didn't vote, I may have been the deciding vote of that budget not passing, and therefore 19 crimes not going back in, right? So again, people don't know everything that happens behind the scenes. I'm telling you right now what's been happening behind the scenes.
I hear you, Senator Monica Martinez. One more, Senator. You know, you mentioned the budget and everything else. You know, I'm looking at this deficit now, which, what is it, over $9 billion? And gosh knows how we're going to fix this. To me, it's not a partisan thing. We need some help here from the top. Do you foresee that? Where do you see? Because, you know, I'll tell you right now, people leaving the state, leaving the island and everything else. How do you fix it? How do we ensure we can plug a few holes here? Now, listen, I know a lot of it is the governor and Washington and everything else, but I know you're a concerned legislator right now. How do you go about your business here? As people look at you for help in the district and everything else, you know, they're going to see their taxes rise. They're going to see a lot of services possibly cut here. Who knows what's going to happen within the schools? We await that in November. But how do you kind of go about your business, and what's your overall feeling here as trying to maintain some sovereignty regarding the economics of it all?
Well, look, we know that we have work to do, and we've been talking about this. And one of the things that we are very proud of at the state is that time and time again, you know, the 2% property tax cap was just renewed. We made it permanent. Right. In order for any municipality, any school board to go with the 2% property tax cap, if they want to pierce it, they need a supermajority vote of the public. We made sure that people's average homeowner taxes stayed under the 2% cap, hoping to bring at least 60,000 savings over, you know, a period of time, I believe 10 years. We've been trying to do things to alleviate the low income, middle class working families. It is our job to find money. But I will not be voting on anything that affects our middle class and our low-income working families when it comes to taxes. There is no reason why we need to tax those who are already taxed out. But you know what? There are individuals out there that make a pretty penny that we should also look into. And that's one of the things that, I understand there is one millionaire in my district. One, right? There is one. There is the ultra-millionaires bill that we're looking into for everyone to really pay their fair share. right? I think that middle class and working families are paying a lot more than those who make a lot, right? So we're looking into seeing if we can look into that route. We're looking into gaming. You know that marijuana is also on the top line. I am against the legalization of marijuana for many reasons, and I've always said that, but that is something that they're looking into to see how and where we can generate revenue. But I will not, and I'm telling you that right now, Jay, once reelected and we get back up there, I will not be voting on any tax hike that will affect our middle-class families and our hardworking families here on Long Island. It's not happening. I voted 48 times against any tax hike in the state of New York. It is not happening under my watch because I know how hard people live here on Long Island and how hard they work. I am a, you know, head of household, and trust me, it's tough, and I get it. And I can only imagine what other people are going through during the pandemic. Many were blessed to still have their jobs. Some of them were not. Our unemployment is still high. I mean, yes, it's down, but people are still being laid off, right? And we saw people during the pandemic who weren't even able to receive help from the government because they owed the government. I mean, listen, this whole entire thing has caused the state to really turn upside down. And do we need our federal partners to help? Most definite. But we also need to do our part here in the state of New York, our local municipalities, our schools, and sometimes even our organizations, right? You need to look at what you have now and pretty much reassess what's at hand. But even with schools, I am a former teacher. I am a former administrator. I have asked the governor, please do not cut the funding for our schools. Our kids are learning in such a different way now, something that you and I never will do. Remote learning, hybrid learning. I mean, this is completely taking a child out of its element, the socialization part of it in itself. And take the teachers. Teachers love their kids. Teachers love to see their students. And so it is a tough time, Jay, and no one can deny that. But it's our responsibilities as lawmakers to find revenue without hurting our taxpayers, without reaching into their wallet even more, because we know how hard they're already being hit.
Senator Monica Martinez, ladies and gentlemen, she is up for re-election. It's the biggest election of a lifetime on all fronts. It happens in 5 days, early voting ongoing, and get out and vote. There are no excuses this year for sure. Can't thank you enough, Senator, and we hope to have you on again down the road.
Thank you, Jay, for having me.
Appreciate it. Couple of minutes. Lots on the line.